Just to let you know, tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking with Madison freelance writer Mike Muckian, who will be talking with us about the wines and the wineries of Wisconsin. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's at 11, and then tomorrow at 11:45, Dr. Kathy Giswold of Madison talks about good dental care. So we'll look forward to our visit with her as well. That's tomorrow. But right now, here's your chance to make the best airfare purchasing decision. We'll be talking with Rick Sini of Dallas, Texas. He's been with us a few times now. He's CEO of FairCompare.com. It's a consumer search a website whose motto is never overpay for airline tickets again. And if you read this past Sunday's Parade magazine, it referred to a new breed of search engine that attempts to predict the cheapest time to buy airfare. And in that article, it states that Fare Compare displays airfares on an easy-to-scan calendar grid, and its maps provide travelers the lowest fares from a given city. If you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give a call. Rick Sini with us by phone. Hi, Rick. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here today.
Nice little article there in Parade magazine.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know about that. I got to keep better track of those things.
Nice little bit of publicity for you. And as we often do when you're on, explain to us how your search operates and how you're able to do it.
Well, we're a lot different from everybody else, basically because we get the raw airfare data directly from the airlines. We're one of the handful of companies in the world that do that. And we basically are a bunch of technology guys that used to sell this raw data to the airlines themselves for competition, so they could keep track of their competition, and we decided to bring it out to consumers, and that includes both coach prices and first class and business class prices. So we basically process it very quickly, get it out to consumers so they're first to have it. Once they have it in their hands, they're one of the few people that have early notice, and then they can have a better shot at those really cheap tickets.
And that's FairCompare.com is the place to go for that. And how do you make your money?
Basically, on the website, we have advertising. So everything on the site is free. All the services are free. You come to the site, make a query, use our technology, kind of keep track of prices. You can sign up for email alerts. We'll send you an alert whenever anything happens. And so basically on the site, we have some advertising, and hopefully people will find our site compelling enough and click on some of our advertisers as well.
And you don't sell tickets yourself?
We do not sell tickets on the site. We're basically a research tool.
Julie in Chippewa Falls has a question for you, so let's go to Julie. Hi, Julie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Great to be here. I have a question. Our family will be going on a cruise over the Christmas vacation, and I'm looking right now to purchase really good airfare, and what is your suggestion?
Okay, so I'm assuming you're heading down to Florida?
Yes. Definitely. We're leaving out of Fort Lauderdale.
You're leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. Well, you have a couple of good choices, because leaving out of Fort Lauderdale, there's also Miami Airport, which drives down prices a little bit. You're at a little bit of disadvantage over the Christmas holidays. If you're going directly over the Christmas holidays, the airlines are charging anywhere from $100 to a $200 premium for flights down to Florida during that time frame. Mm-hmm. What dates are you leaving?
Well, we would like to leave actually one day earlier than our scheduled cruise.
I would recommend that, by the way, because with the way flights go these days and that crazy time, you don't want to miss your cruise.
Right. Okay. So we'd be leaving like the 22nd.
Right, which is 3 days before Christmas. Are you going to drive down to Chicago?
No, we were just planning on leaving from Minneapolis.
For Minneapolis. Okay, so you're nearby Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
There should be some fairly decent rates. You're still going to pay a premium. My guess is that you'll probably pay between $250 and $330 for that ticket. How many people are going?
Three
people? Yeah, there's just really no way around it. On those days, the airlines know exactly people want to travel from cold to warm, and they're just charging a premium for those days. They start upcharging for December around December 18th,
mm-hmm.
and that goes all the way through the week past New Year's.
Okay.
And so they're going to be charging a premium. But I would go ahead and buy my tickets now if you get a fairly decent price, because they're only going to go up as you get closer.
Okay. So would you have information on your website?
Yeah, just come to our website and type in the dates, and we'll show you the best prices, and we'll also show you the history as well, so you can check the history against what your price was. And just remember that during those times, you're going to pay a premium. It's just there's really no way around it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Julie. Appreciate it. Catherine in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Coming from Atlanta to Midwest before Christmas sometime. When is the best time to travel during the week?
Okay, so you will be in, or somebody's coming from Atlanta to Wisconsin?
Yes.
Right, so basically they're coming for Christmas.
Exactly.
Can they stay a while?
Like what? A month?
Well, really, the prices start to go up around December 18th, right? The cheapest prices for the Christmas time travel are just before the 18th, where you're going to get actually much better rates. Or really, the very cheapest day to fly is the day of Christmas, which is not very good for many people. So as long as they come, the Saturday is usually a little bit cheaper than Sunday. And Monday is a little bit cheaper than Tuesday. So they're still going to pay a premium for any time that basically travel a week before Christmas, you're going to pay a premium for. And as you get closer, you're going to pay even more of a premium because those seats are going to start to fill up. I've been telling people actually to buy their Christmas tickets for the past month. So you just know that you're going to pay a premium for those tickets and try to get in on the best days.
Okay. Which, is it best to stay longer than a week? Or
yeah, if you can stay longer, then you can sort of pick and choose the right days to go. On the return, the most popular return date is that Friday after Christmas and the Sunday after Christmas. So those are going to be the most expensive.
Okay.
So if you leave back on the Thursday after or the Saturday after, it's going to be a little less expensive.
I see. Thank you much. And your website
is faircompare.com.
Okay, thank you.
All right, faircompare.com. It's spelled F-A-R-E, by the way, faircompare, not F-A-I-R, F-A-R-E, faircompare.com. And give us a call if you have a question for our guest today, Rick Seeney of Dallas, at 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, or email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll see what we can do for you. Matter of fact, we have an email from Courtney in Oshkosh, lives in Oshkosh, flying out for a class in Seattle, Washington on Wednesday, February 6th. I had been planning for convenience's sake to leave from Appleton, though I could leave from Green Bay or Milwaukee. The class would end as late as 10 p.m. Sunday, February 10th. So it would be February's class starts on the 6th and is over at 10 p.m. on the 10th. So you're probably looking at flying in on the 5th and leaving on the 11th would be my guess.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of trip, that trip from basically is a northwest route through Seattle. Mm-hmm. There's not a huge amount of competition, but the good news is that that's kind of off-peak time that she's leaving. The peak time is right around President's Day, which is just after Valentine's.
Yep.
And so she should be able to get a really good price on those tickets for early February because it's really an off-peak time. She should start shopping for those probably in the next month or so, unless it's a really good price. If you go to faircompare.com and you actually look at the prices and it says it's a 3-star or a 4-star fare, that's compared against 3 years' history, I normally recommend that people go ahead and buy those because they're not likely to get too much lower. And if it's a 4-star, it's at the lowest in history.
Okay.
So go ahead and buy as many as you can, as fast as you can, when it's at a 4-star. At a 3-star, I always feel comfortable. When it's at a 2-star or below, that's when I tell people that they should probably wait a little bit and kind of watch what happens because airfares change literally tens of thousands of times a day. And if you just keep a good eye on it, sign up for the email alerts where we send you an alert, and just make sure you start shopping about 3 to 4 months before your travel, and you'll always get a good price. Maybe not a great price, but you'll get a good price and never a bad price.
Courtney wondered if it was more economical to fly home Sunday night. I don't know how she'd get a flight if the class ends at 10 p.m.
They do. They might have a red eye. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that particular route. But Sunday and Monday are probably one of the most expensive days to fly. So Monday morning is when all the business travelers are leaving, so they charge a premium for that. And Sunday night is where all the leisure travelers are trying to come in because they're maximizing their vacation. So they charge a little bit of premium for that as well.
Yeah. But I suppose if you found one at midnight, it would probably be reasonable.
Definitely. Almost all red eyes are reasonable. And she might not want to get up for work the next morning, though.
Now, would you sign up for an alert on your...
Yes, definitely. On the site, we actually have three types of alerts, and they're all free. You can sign up for domestic alerts, which includes the United States and Canada. We also have international alerts for anything that touches the United States and Canada. And we also have first-class alerts for the United States and Canada as well, because we also track... Y-up fares, which are discounted first-class fares, which have been really popular recently.
And in there, you just type in where you want to go and put the alert in, and there you have it.
That's it. So once you put your alert in, any time the fare drops more than $10 below the very cheapest currently, you'll get an email.
Okay. And Perry and Madison, hello to you.
Good morning, and I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you for having it. Every year I fly my parents from Maine to Madison and then from Madison to Florida. Is there any strategy, and then back to Maine? Is there any strategies for multi-leg trips like that?
You know what? I'm going to break in right here because we need to take a quick look at the news. And I know very well that Rick Cini has some good advice on that. So we'll hold that advice until after this look at the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking now about how to make the best airfare purchasing decision with our guest, Rick Cini of Dallas, Texas, CEO of FareCompare.com. It's a consumer research website. Really pleased to have him with us. If you have a question, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Rick, we have Perry in Madison who had a question about sort of a three-legged trip, starting parents from Maine to Madison, and then from Madison to Florida. What do you think? What's the strategy for getting the best airfare on a trip like that?
Well, basically, there's a few. That's what's called a multi-city trip. And basically what happens on a multi-city trip, you end up paying half the round-trip price between each segment. So it would be half the round-trip price between Maine and Madison, and then half the round-trip price between Madison and Florida. And then I'm assuming they would go back to Maine, which would be this. So basically you end up paying three half round-trips. So that's how it works. The key is to find the perfect days to travel, which are normally Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday are going to be the cheapest. And the strategy is really the same as you would if you were doing a round trip, just kind of treating it as though it was a couple of round trips. And also, when you go to places like Maine, which have smaller airports. For instance, I just did a quick lookup of Portland, Maine to Milwaukee. It's running at least a couple hundred, maybe $300 cheaper than Bangor, Maine to Milwaukee.
Whoa.
So you should always check to see the alternate airports, especially if you don't have a long drive, because it can be a huge difference, mainly because there's probably a low-cost airline like AirTran or Southwest that's servicing that market will drive the prices much lower.
All right. Thanks, Perry, for calling. Margaret in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. I was wondering, what strategy does one need to use to find out when Northwest releases the seats you can purchase with your accumulated World Perks miles?
The $50 question for everybody. Basically, what happens is the department at all airlines treat frequent flyer miles as basically non-revenue. So it's really sort of a secret formula of how many seats they actually release on flights. And when it comes to the top destinations like Florida, Los Angeles, New York, Caribbean, Mexico beaches, there's literally everybody trying to get at those seats as quickly as possible. Some, you can actually shop up to 11 months in advance for those.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go very fast. And there's really no secret formula, because sometimes if the flights aren't very full, they will add more to that inventory. And it's all really pretty much automated based on how much revenue they want to make on an airplane. So there's from that perspective, you really have to shop early for the most popular destinations, and you have to shop often, which is sort of a pain because the only place you can do this shopping is on the airline website.
Right.
You don't really want to call to do that because they're going to charge you a fee to do that as well. When you redeem your points. So you really want to do it online to get the best benefit. And they also charge a hefty fee if you wait up until the last minute as well.
So do they at times add the frequent flyer seats then as the...
They do, actually. And it depends. So the key is to go when it's... Don't go during Christmas. Don't go during Thanksgiving. Don't go during spring break, or at least shop for those. Go kind of at off-peak times. You'll have a better shot at it. Shop really early for those frequent flyer points. And I personally like to use my frequent flyer points for last-minute emergency trips, like inside of 7 days where the tickets are $1,000. Because if you can get a $200 or $250 price for a nice trip, it's better off to pay that with cash than to use your miles and kind of hold those miles for last-minute emergencies.
So then you combine your miles with more money to buy a ticket? Is that what
you're doing? Actually, you can't combine them right now. Now, there is some talk in the frequent flyer area, especially on credit card companies, of allowing kind of a half-and-half purchase. When you have frequent flyer miles on credit cards, it turns out that only about 6% to 10% of the people actually ever get enough miles to actually purchase a ticket. Mm-hmm. So they've been talking about doing kind of a half and half cash, half miles, and that's something that the airlines are looking at very closely because of their frequent flyer programs. But right now, you pretty much have to use your entire mileage. Now, if you don't have enough miles, almost all the major airlines will allow you to purchase miles for about 2.5 cents to 3 cents. And so if you just need a little bit more miles, you can actually purchase them on the website.
Then I don't understand. What's your advantage of waiting until the last minute for emergency for the higher price?
Because if you have an emergency, let's say you have a family member that's sick or a funeral you have to attend, normally those kind of tickets at the last minute are business rates, and you're going to pay anywhere from $600 to $1,100 for that ticket. If you can use your miles to buy those at the last minute, you're getting somewhere around 8 to 10 cents a mile for your miles, which is a lot more than if you, for instance, use your miles for a $200 ticket.
Right.
But that's assuming that there's a frequent flyer seat available within that week. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
Yeah. Usually what happens on kind of last-minute things are not necessarily to popular destinations like Florida. Uh-huh. It's usually you're going to visit a family member or a friend or relative, so you have a lot better shot at getting that seat at the last minute.
Thanks for the info.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling, Margaret. And let's go to Judy in La Crosse next. Hi, Judy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just had a question. There's four of us wanting to go to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, the end of January. And I guess we probably should have started looking at our tickets quite a while ago.
Actually, you're not too bad, because at the end of January, although it is sort of a peak time because you're going from cold weather to warm, it's not as bad as going during Christmas or during President's Day weekend.
Okay.
So you should be able to get a pretty decent price in there for the end of January.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now between $500 and $600.
That's not unusual for that time. It's a little bit high.
Okay.
I think. Where are you flying from?
La Crosse.
From La Crosse, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're flying from La Crosse, you're going to pay about $150 premium for going out of that regional airport.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were able to drive a little bit, you might save $150 to $200. If it's only a couple people, there's not a really good trade-off. But if you're taking a family of four or five, mm-hmm. sometimes it's worthwhile to do that, a couple-hour drive to save $1,000.
Yeah, we had talked about that. There's just, we'd rather not drive from Minneapolis or Chicago in the winter, because you never know where
you're going to end up. In that case, you have to take care of the winter issues as well. So just know that you're going to pay a little bit more out of the regional airport because there's not much competition.
Right.
And so in that case, out of a regional airport, I wouldn't expect it to be much less than $500.
Don't wait to buy them now?
I would feel comfortable if you bought them now, because I don't think you're going to see much of a price change.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Judy. Thank you for calling. And you got it locked in. Jeff in Rice Lake, hi to you.
Hi there. My wife and I and two of our children are planning on leaving the week of March 24th, right after Mother's Day. And we have a possibility of 5 to 6, 7 other families going with. We're kind of, it's a senior trip. And we're thinking of going from Minneapolis to Orlando area.
Now, wait a minute. You said March. Isn't that Mother's Day?
Yeah, Mother's Day. Is it, what, 23rd?
Mother's Day is usually in May.
Or May? Yeah, okay, March 24th. Forget the Mother's Day.
It sounded a little early to me, too. Okay.
I was born on Mother's Day, May 14th.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, the week of the 24th of March.
Right. That's kind of spring break territory, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also spring break for the kids in high school up here, so we're kind of coordinating, you know, with that. And we could possibly have 30 people. Is there an advantage to having that many, or a disadvantage, or how to go about it?
Well, when you have a group of more than 8, it depending on which airline is the most competitive airline in your area, they do have group departments that can help you get into some group rates. There's a special phone number that you can call for the airlines to get into group rates. I've found with a lot of people that do groups, they don't give you much of a discount, but they will accommodate you and get you seated where you want to be seated, so you can be seated together. On pricing, you'll get about what's the going rate is at the time, so there's not really that big of a discount. It's more of a convenience thing.
Okay.
Buying the tickets separately would be all sorts of a nightmare if you all wanted to fly, you know, nearby, sitting next to each other, and making sure you're all on the same flight. So
right.
if the goal is to be convenient, I definitely would contact the airline so they can put you together.
Okay.
If it's just to get down there at the cheapest, it'd be worthwhile to shop. For that March travel, it's a little bit early right now to be shopping for that unless the price is at a 3 or 4 star based on history.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little outside the window where they manage those prices.
Okay.
But just know that spring break time, end of March, early April, down to a warm weather location like Orlando, is usually relatively expensive, not super expensive, because Orlando's not really necessarily a spring break for the younger crowd. It is the Disney crowd, and there's kind of a Disney crowd year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to get the standard kind of Disney rates, especially depending on what's competition. And so if you want convenience, go with the group. If you want to shop separately, I think you probably should wait just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Just to mention Disney, we flew down to Disney and to Orlando, and man, they have a little ticketing situation where you can put a yellow tag on your bags and you don't even have to go pick your bags up. The Disney people do that, and they put you on a bus and take you right to Orlando. It's quite a...
Yeah, I have a 6-year-old, and I've been to Disney World 3 times in the past 2 years. So they definitely do it right. And, I mean, to be honest, I kind of like Disney World myself.
I do, too.
I know it's kind of sad, but it's really kind of a neat place. And, you know, when your 6-year-old's eyes light up, it's kind of it makes the whole thing worthwhile.
Yeah. We have a soon-to-be 4-year-old who's visited Disney about 4 or 5 times already. So we know all about that. Rosemary in Bailey's Harbor, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello. I'm calling because I and my family have a very pessimistic view of going through Chicago, either going out somewhere from Bailey's Harbor or coming back somewhere. And we always go through Chicago. And now we've started coming through Milwaukee. And it seems to be not quite so troublesome as far as delays, et cetera. Is there any reason, special reason, why flights from Chicago to Green Bay always seem to be delayed? I mean, big delays.
Well, it's not unusual for the bigger airports to have worse delays than the regional airports, especially if you're connecting, and not even that Milwaukee's a regional, because they're a relatively large airport, so is Minneapolis. What ends up happening is Chicago is one of the busiest airports in the world. So when anything goes wrong, it's magnified by tenfold. So, you know, if you have the major hubs like Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Washington, New York, anytime some sort of weather or any related issue happens anywhere in the system, they have trouble getting the planes on to their next destination. Normally, when you're flying from Chicago to Green Bay, that's not the first plane of the day, and it's connecting from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And if there's any weather-related issue at all, it's always going to be magnified. So I agree with you that flying through places like Milwaukee where there's less traffic, you're going to have less delay issues, because especially when there's weather-related issues.
Right. So what we do usually is drive to Milwaukee, which saves us a bit of money anyway, and then go on from there. So, well, righto. Now then, I, at least when my brother calls and said, my God, our journey home to England was absolutely dreadful, and it was all in Chicago, and like delays of 6 hours and stuff. So I'll tell him why now.
No problem.
Thanks a lot for calling, Rosemary. Appreciate your call very much. I frankly try to avoid Chicago like the plague.
Well, you know, during, it depends on the time of travel. It's all related to how many people are flying on a particular day and how many flights are occurring, and it can be very frustrating. Actually, I started a blog about 2 months ago, rickfeeney.com, mm-hmm. and there's several stories. I had one of my cousins I was bringing in from Munich, Germany, that was stuck in Munich, Germany on her way to Dallas for 3 days, not just 6 hours. So we're still trying to get some money out of U.S. Airways on that one. So.
Oh, man. Well, not to be a big booster of Milwaukee, but to boost it a little bit, the hotels around the airport, there are several hotels around the airport, and if you're driving from somewhere, as Rosemary is, and you have an early morning flight, you can, or any time for that matter, some of these local hotels will, you can leave, stay overnight there, leave your car in their parking lot, they'll drive you to the airport and come pick you up.
It's much more, they're much more attentive. I just had a person tell me a story about their flight on the new Virgin America out of L.A. and San Francisco, and how the atmosphere was more like a bellhop at a five-star hotel where somebody was there to take your bags away from you and put them on the plane, and the plane had all sorts of nice amenities. So I just think that over time we'll see that people will, as customer services, will have to come back into play sooner or later. Otherwise, people will just get so frustrated with flying that they'll just, you know, if they really don't have to, they'll stay away from it.
Diane in Shatek, it's your turn. Hi, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm planning a trip to Ireland for two people, probably not for at least another year, so I don't need anything specific at this point, except when would you suggest the best time of the year would be, considering the weather and all? Any specific airline? Would you suggest renting a car here to get the there, or renting one once we get there? And I'm near Minneapolis Airport, but that doesn't always seem to have the best rate.
Right. Well, you're in luck, actually. There's several things in your favor when you go to Dublin. First of all, Dublin has the lowest taxes in all of Europe, and that's because Ryanair flies out of that airport, so they've got the lowest tax rates. They've also got Aer Lingus flying in there, which drives prices down out of Chicago and Boston and New York. And then secondarily, in March of 2008, there's a new open skies agreement between the U.S. and the European community that's going to open up and allow more flights to and from Europe with lower-cost airlines. So basically, you're going to see a lot of really good prices within about a year to Europe.
Oh, great.
So you're at a perfect time for shopping for that. And you picked a great location, number one, because it's usually inexpensive, and secondarily, you've got kind of everything in your favor, except for the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully a year from now, it won't be quite as bad, but it's very expensive on the exchange rate to go into pretty much anywhere into Europe. In fact, I've had all my relatives from Austria in all summer at my house because they want to spend those $1.40 euros. So they're all coming over here with empty suitcases and going back.
What about car rental?
I would definitely rent it ahead of time,
okay,
just to make sure you have it, make sure it's a reputable rental agency. There's no sense in getting something over there that's, you know, trying to go too low on a rental car.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Don in Colgate, your turn. Hi, Don.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was going to be taking a trip with two people at the end of March and through April in 2008 to Beijing, China. And I was wondering if there's a sneaky way to get good fares internationally?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I've had several reporters call me in the last few months about how to get to China for the Olympics next summer. So there's really a very few nonstop flights to China, both Shanghai and Beijing, Peking. There's only United and Air China really have nonstop flights. I think one other airline has a nonstop flight. And they're only going to be allowing one more flight this year, additional flight nonstop to China, and then another one next year. So there's not really an easy way to get over. Almost everything kind of flows through Tokyo when you go into China.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that means the cheapest prices are going to be out of the West Coast hubs like LAX, San Francisco, and Seattle.
Okay.
So if you want to kind of get a sneaky price over there, it's based out of the, what are you in Minneapolis? Are you
Milwaukee area.
In the Milwaukee area. So what you need to do is probably monitor the prices out of L.A., out of San Francisco, and I like to get people on a domestic ticket over to those gateways and then get them into China, because you're going to pay a pretty high price out of Milwaukee to get to China.
Right.
You can get a lot cheaper price if you buy a domestic ticket in the U.S. and then
say to L.A. or someplace.
Right, and then, yeah, spend the night in L.A., relax a little bit because you're in for a long trip.
So it seems, right.
And then you can get a really good price over into Tokyo. And once you're into Tokyo, you can connect through to China pretty easily wherever you want to go.
Okay. Are the direct flight prices reasonable, or do you pay a premium there?
You're going to pay a pretty good premium, especially they'll be testing those prices for the Olympic race. So just be aware that you're going to probably pay a little bit of a premium. Obviously, on international airfare, well, not necessarily, obviously, they have seasonal breakpoints. So what you want to try to do, if you're in that March time frame, is that what you said?
Correct, yeah.
Late March, early April. That's right at a season breakpoint. So if you go onto the website and you look at the route, you'll see exactly when the price is raised by $200 or $300, and you want to stay earlier than that date.
Correct. Okay, good. That will do.
Sure.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for calling, Don. Appreciate it. Sarah in Sturgeon Bay, hello to you.
Hi, thank you. My son is going to be studying abroad for the spring semester, and he's looking at leaving, though, just prior to Christmas. We're wondering if there are key dates that would have an effect on pricing for going over to Romania and then eventually Prague.
It's not too bad to go. Basically, the tickets to Eastern Europe are a little bit cheaper because it's off the beaten path.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to get to necessarily. And is it going to be flying out of Milwaukee or Chicago?
Probably, yeah.
Right. So basically, what time in the spring is he leaving?
No, he'd be returning probably late May, but he'd be leaving in December.
Leaving in December, okay. So basically, anytime you want to fly to Europe for longer than 90 days, you're going to pay a premium normally. There are British Airways and a couple other airlines actually have a six-month stay where you can buy a round-trip ticket. If you try to buy a one-way ticket, it's going to be ridiculously expensive.
Okay.
So these kind of long-term trips, there's certain airlines that have very specific fare rules for the length of stay. And you have to be careful because, like, in that case, you're looking at, what, about 180 days or so?
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is find an airline like British Airways that has a pretty liberal, what's called maximum stay policy.
Okay.
And if you go on the website, you can take a look at farecompare.com, F-A-R-E. It'll let you pick those days, and then you can look at the return calendar and see what the return prices are.
Okay.
But you're going to find that the airlines like British Airways and Air France have a more liberal return policy, and the flights are going to be a little bit cheaper for those long stays.
And thank you very much, Sarah, for calling. And, Rick, thank you so much. Great show. I hope we can do this again.
I have fun doing these. It's so much fun to help people, you know, make better buying decisions.
Well, I appreciate your help as well. Rick Cini is CEO of FairCompare.com. And go online, take a look. I have it up on my website right now, FairCompare.com, and learn some more about how you can make the best airfare purchasing decisions. Appreciate him being with us. Madison freelance writer Mike Muckian talks wineries of Wisconsin tomorrow, and then we'll also visit with Dr. Kathy Giswold of Madison, who is a dentist. We'll talk good dental care. In the meantime, thanks a lot for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.